The following sermon is presented by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
Good morning. We love bluegrass mornings, don't we? Amen. You got to say yee-haw. There you go. Yee-haw. Well, welcome to Maranatha Bible Church. We are very glad to have you with us this morning. This is a very special Sunday, as most of you know. This is our 50th anniversary Sunday celebration. We got a wonderful evening Friday night, just being able to rejoice, rehearse God's goodness and faithfulness to this church for 50 years. It was back in February of 1963 that God began a work here in the Comstock Park area, as a result of Calvary Church's desire to spread the good news in the northern part of Grand Rapids. And for 50 years, this church has been ministering faithfully the Word of God, and we are excited to look back and see God's faithfulness, and we're excited to look ahead and what He has in store for us as well. So we're glad you're with us this morning to celebrate with us. Maybe this is your first Sunday here, and if it is, we're very glad you're here. A very special Sunday for you to be with us. If this is your first time, if you'd please fill out that card that's in the bulletin, let us know how we can serve you or minister to you, and put that in the offering plate as it goes by later on in the service. Would you stand, please? We're going to open our service in prayer, and then our worship team is going to lead us in worship. Our God and Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of being together as a body of believers. Lord, it's a joy and a privilege to be able this morning to rehearse your faithfulness, Lord, to celebrate your goodness to Maranatha Bible Church. There's been good times, there's been hard times, and yet through it all, Father, you have faithfully sustained this body of believers, and we're grateful for that. Lord, as we celebrate today, may the focus not be on us. Lord, we don't want credit for what we've accomplished. We want all glory to go to you in what you've done. So inhabit the praise of your people, be glorified in the preaching of your word and the giving of testimonies, and it may it all result in glory to Christ, and it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. The only reason we're here and we can celebrate is because of the Lamb, because of Christ. That's the reason and the basis for our fellowship and our celebration today. Take your Bibles, please, and open to the book of Psalms. Psalm 136. Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word. We want to remember and rehearse God's faithfulness and His loving kindness towards our church. And I can't think of a better psalm than this one to remind us of that, and you'll see why in just a moment. Follow along as I read Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the great lights, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And brought Israel out from their midst, for his loving kindness is everlasting. With an outstretched hand and an outstretched arm, his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his loving kindness is everlasting. But he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who smote great kings, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and slew mighty kings, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and Og, king of Bashan, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And gave their land as a heritage, for his loving kindness is everlasting, even a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Who remembered us in our low estate. For his loving kindness is everlasting, and has rescued us from our adversaries. For his loving kindness is everlasting, who gives food to all flesh. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Do you see a theme there? Can't miss it, can you? Have your seats. We have a God whose loving kindness never ends, never fails. And this church is testimony to that. We have the privilege and joy of having a dear saint lead us in prayer. Many of you know Bert Miranda. He's part of our church for many years. His wife Doris taught Sunday school for 30 years. He is 95. Longtime member and participant in Maranatha Bible Church. And he's going to lead us in prayer this morning. He doesn't hear very well, but he prays very well. And we want you to be led in prayer by this dear saint for the Lord.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
This is a long, long time that I've been here. I was here when first opened. And I'm here to celebrate this wonderful day, the birthday. Our birthday. If we look back on many, many things that had happened, I can't remember most of them, but I know one thing, that a lot of the Lord, and that He has saved me and brought me here long time ago, and that I'm here now. But first of all, I'm looking forward to what I'm going to see after this life. Mm-hmm. Bless you all, and that we all have a blessing and a good fellowship and a good time. Thank you. Oh, just don't forget what you're up there for. Don't be afraid. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and watching care for us. But above all, thank you for the wonderful life you promised after this one. Thank you for the many blessings you have given us by knowing you and your love and your care. Now be with us as we gather, dear Father, worshiping you in everything that has and will be. Thanking you and praising you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
I would be content just to listen to him pray all morning. Those are the prayers of a dear, godly saint. We're going to take our offering right now, and as we do so, we're going to play a song by Bud Dredge. The Dredge family is longtime participants in our church, and Bud sang this song, this recording, just a couple weeks before he passed away, and we thought it would be appropriate for you to celebrate with us and worship with us from one who's now worshiping in heaven. And we get the joy and privilege of having him minister to us now.
We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road. Those who've gone before us blind the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. And may the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road that we must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. And may the fire of their devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
That's our prayer and our hope, isn't it? That even here today, as we sit here today, we are in a sense here because of the legacy and the heritage of those godly saints who have gone before us. And we want to leave that same legacy. And we're writing that right now. And our prayer and our hope is that Maranatha will continue to be a church where its people are faithful and we see God's faithfulness to us here. We have asked a few people to share this morning to just give some testimonies of how Maranatha has meant, what Maranatha has meant to them. And one of the couples that we have asked to do that is the Street family from Quebec, Canada. They are one of our missionary families. They're not here today, obviously, but we asked them to record a message and a greeting from them to us, and we're going to play that now. We trust and pray that this will be an encouragement to you as you hear from a missionary family that's been a long-term participant and member of this church.
Hello, everyone at Maranatha Bible Church. Hello. We are Jeff and Tonda Street. We are missionaries in Quebec City, Canada, and we have been here for about 15 and a half years, and we've been part of Maranatha for about 20 years. And it's hard to believe, since that means, I guess, we've been part of the church for 40% of its existence. Here's our picture, what we looked like when we left to go to the mission field. You can see that Tonda hasn't put on any weight. I have. Want to talk to you a little bit about Maranatha and what we originally liked about Maranatha and why we started going there. When we moved to Grand Rapids, we said we could take the rest of our lives to visit churches in this town. So we said we're going to visit 10 churches, and then we're going to pick one. So that's what we did. We visited 10, and after we were all done, Tonda's favorite was Maranatha, and Maranatha was my second favorite. And then we said, well, which one should we go to? And we really felt like the Lord was leading us to go to Maranatha. And one of the things that we really, really liked at Maranatha was Pastor John Campbell, how evangelistic he was. I don't think I'd ever been around a pastor that spent so much time sharing the gospel with people, He was constantly referring to someone he shared the gospel with at Meijer and someone he met, at a restaurant. And we were very impressed by that because we thought, this is what it's supposed to be about. And as people who were aspiring to be missionaries and feeling called to missions, we were very excited about that. And so that was kind of the original thing that kind of pushed us over the edge and said, no, Maranatha is the church for us. And it's my favorite now. And I'm glad that the Lord led us to Maranatha. And we have made a lot of great friends there over the years, and we appreciate all of you.
And I want to say congratulations, too, on this 50-year anniversary of Maranatha Bible Church. It is exciting, and I wish that we could be there to celebrate with you, but I just am thinking of the fact that 50 years of celebrating anything is exciting, whether it's 50 years of life or 50 years of marriage and 50 years of faithful service to the Lord is certainly worth celebrating. And I'm just thankful for the fact that once a year, every fall, the Street family can come and participate with you in the fall events. And we've been able to see firsthand how the Lord has used Mill Creek Madness and the flag football outreach. And unfortunately, we can't see all the summer events that happen, but we know that they too are having an impact. And I appreciate your burden for Comstock Park and Grand Rapids and the world beyond. And I pray that the Lord will do even more in the next 50 years and beyond that.
And it's interesting, when we started coming to Maranatha, we had one child, and Tonda was pregnant with our second. Now we have six. And it's interesting, too, because I was asking the kids, I kind of asked each kid up until today when I asked the rest of them, but when they graduated from high school, I said, of all our supporting churches in the U.S., we have seven. I said, of all our supporting churches in the U.S., which one do you consider your home church? Now you have to remember, Tonda's dad is a pastor of a church in Pennsylvania, the church where she grew up. And in spite of that, all of them said that they feel like Maranatha is more their home church than any other church. And I think that's a testimony to what kind of people you all are, what kind of atmosphere, what kind of community exists at Maranatha, what kind of love they feel when they're there. They just feel like they just kind of step in and they're part of the church family for that 1 week a year that we're there. And then they move on to the next place where mom and dad are gonna be stopping the wagon. But they feel very much like Maranatha as their home. And that means a lot to us, but I think that probably even means a lot more to you. So we want to thank you all for your prayers and your support over the years. You guys are not just prayer supporters and financial supporters, you're friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord. We love you. And congratulations on 50 years, and may the next 50 be even better. And that's what we're praying for and we're hoping for, and have a great time this weekend as you celebrate.
Love you all.
It's good to hear from them, and good to hear just how this church has impacted them and our relationship with them as well. We're so grateful for them, and we're grateful for you. You are the church. You are the ones that make up this church. And we've asked a few people to come and share live, without a video, just a little bit more specifically on what God has done in and through their lives. So Gary Dredge, if you come forward, Mike Gordon, and Bill Bennett. These are some representatives of the ministry of Maranatha Bible Church. So if you would come forward, please, and have you share briefly about what this church has meant to you. Many of you may not know, Ev Dredge is one of the charter members of this church, and goes back many, many years. So Gary, you mind grabbing the microphone there? And why don't you start, Gary, and then have your mom share a little bit.
Mom asked if I would come up and stand in Dad's place, so I wore his shoes.
That's as close as I'll ever come, folks, to standing in my dad's shoes. If you were at the banquet, I shared a letter, or really some information from the first pastor, Martin Uppendahl. He gave us a brief history of how the church started. And Mom asked if I would do kind of a Reader's Digest version of that. So if you didn't get to hear it, this is the Reader's Digest version from of the history from the first pastor, who is still alive, and he's 86 years old and living in a mission home in Oklahoma. He said that in 1962, Carl Johnson, who was the Calvary Church Sunday School superintendent, had a vision for reaching the children of Comstock Park area, especially those in the then new Westgate housing development. At Mr. Johnson's suggestion, a Calvary missionary, Martin Uppendahl, who had recently returned from Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe in Africa, with his family, was asked to help plant a church in the area. Pastor Uppendahl had experienced success in planting a church in Africa by beginning with a group of children. So with the help of the Dredge family and the Van Houten family, who were Calvary members that lived in Comstock Park, they began Sunday afternoon meetings at the Stony Creek Elementary School. Also around this time, they were busing children from the area to Boys Brigade and Pioneer Girls at Calvary Church during the week. Eventually, a former fish hatchery that had become a trash-filled swamp was purchased, and with borrowed heavy equipment and a lot of volunteer labor, Pastor Uppendahl was able to transform this property into what became the original church property and recreation area. Also during this time, we held a day camp. That was before the day camp that we know today. They didn't hold it at the church property, but bussed everybody up to the county park at Long Lake up northeast of Sparta. Donated fill was acquired to develop the property so that the original church building could be constructed and a recreation area could be accessed. And then after the original building was constructed, regular Sunday morning and evening services began. He shared a highlight. He said one of the highlights was during his era was the baptism of several new members in the church pond, which we still do today. He said there were carloads of people that pulled up along above to watch, and that was kind of a big opening to the community at that time. And then about 5 years after Pastor Uppendahl moved on and the Gordon family arrived and a new era began. So that's early history.
Well, we were members at Calvary at the time, and we were very happy there, and they asked us about starting the church out here. And I wasn't really enthused about it because we felt Calvary had a great ministry. They had a wonderful children's ministry and a youth ministry. And I really thought I wanted my children to grow up there. And Carl Johnson obviously sensed my lack of enthusiasm. And he took me aside. I don't even remember what kinds of things he talked to me about, but he obviously convinced me that we should be out here in this ministry, and I'm so glad he did. It's been such a wonderful blessing, and I know that our kids have been the church has had a real positive influence on not only our family, but many of the families in the community. One of the early memories of being in the old building was when the Gordons came, the first. They were living in a bus behind the church. And so they came into the church. They used the facilities in the church and the kitchen and so forth. One Sunday we had a visitor. It was their dog. Came up to the service. We also could smell their Sunday dinners cooking in the basement. They didn't officially invite us, but I know they would have been glad to have us there. One of the other memories was we purchased an organ, and for the dedication, we had John W. Peterson and his daughters and Harold DeCou come out for our dedication, and that was kind of special. Of course, a lot of people don't even know who they are today, but some of the older people will know who they are. And just the memories of our day camp, our resident camp, and all the youth activities. I remember during the Wednesday night services, the kids met up in this, the youth met up in here, and it was such a thrill to see the kids pour out of there after the meeting. They had their Bible studies, and then, of course, this was the recreation. They could come down here and play volleyball, but these were kids from the neighborhood. They were just our kids, and all the kids of the church were able to ask their friends, and they did, and many lives were changed. And I think we heard many testimonies the other night, and those were just a few. As I was sitting listening, I could think of so many more who had been influenced by Maranatha. It's been a real blessing.
Terry and I and Amy at the time moved to Grand Rapids in 67. I went to attend Grisboom, and Mom and Dad moved here at the same time and took up residence, as Ev said, in the church building. And Dad, as you most of you know, loved camping, and that's how he sold to Laura and Debbie, how they're going to live for a little while. They built a house up by Bud Street up there. And one of the things that they did that is quite interesting, down in the youth building, they have the kitchen there, which is there right now, but you notice there's no shower or anything like that down there, and there wasn't then either. So Dad took a tub and made a shower curtain out of a round thing, ran a hose over top, and they stood in this tub. And so you had a designated time that you only could shower, because once the tub was full, you know, that was it. But that was it. And they existed quite well. And I still don't know how in the world they got that bus converted school bus behind the church and then back out again, but they did, his ingenuity and things. But one of the things that we did too, the folks had a sleigh. Now a sleigh is like a hay wagon with runners on it, and the Pioneer Girls and Boys Brigade loved to go for rides on that through Westgate. We'd pull it with a car and drive around, and you'd kind of take the corner and it would slide, you know, and they'd scream and all that and had a good time. Well, one time we were doing that, and an officer of the law stopped us and said, you know, what in the world are you doing? And so he pulled me back in his cruiser, and so he proceeded to try to explain to headquarters what on earth this was. No, it's not a wagon. It does not have wheels. You know, it has runners on it. Well, they concluded that there was no regulation on that type of vehicle. So he says, be careful. And he says, it looks like a lot of fun. And so off we went. And a lot of referring to the day camp. When it first started out, we had a bathhouse that didn't have a roof on it. It sat where the caboose sits now, and the kids would change for swimming and things like that. But there was only one problem. The boys kept throwing things over the wall for the girls and back and forth. So they finally put a roof on it. And then when it came time for the caboose to come, we needed to move that. We'd used it for Sunday school and things like that, and extra classes. And so, you know, what were we going to do? Were we going to tear it down or whatever? Well, we came up with the idea that we jacked it up. And at that time, some of you remember the Marsmans, Bruce Marsman, brought one of his dump trucks. He backed it up underneath there. We set it down, and he proceeded to drive it and pull it into where the present utility building is. And we sat it there in preparation for the bathhouse coming. And a little blessing the Lord gave us is we had a heavy snow. Everything collapsed in, and the insurance company paid for the building that we have now. So that worked real well. And then we built the new bathhouse that we have now for the changing and things like that. And one night we got a call from the police that said there's a car that has landed on the bathhouse. All right, now what are you going to think? What? A car landing on the bathhouse? You looked at it. You've seen it. Now, how in the world could a car, as we got here, a car landed on the bathhouse? They came down Lamoureux and proceeded to go right straight off the road. And if you look at it sometime, that was one amazing feat. Never touched anything from the road to the top of the bathhouse, and there it sat in the bathhouse. But one of the firemen was telling me that they arrived and they brought ladders and got up there and looking for someone. They figured he'd be dead, you know, a mess, and there's nobody in here. and they couldn't figure out what in the world, you know. And then they noticed the guy sitting at, on the picnic table beside that, very inebriated, and they asked him, "Were you driving?" He says, "I don't know." But it was, and he was unhurt. But anyway, then as it's winter time, you know, I was thinking, we have the sliding hill out back, and a lot of people use it. You know, the kids are sliding on it all the time. And this was many, many years ago. As I see Bruce sitting out here, Dad and Bruce got together and said, "That is way too civil of a hill to slide down. We need something more exciting." And so they proceeded one fall to clear a little place over where Clay Cliff is. You know how steep that is? They cleared a path down through that, and when the winter came, they tried it. And both, I believe it was Dad and Bruce, got on a toboggan, went down this hill, and they ended up with many pieces of toboggan. It was a violent hill. So from then on, they used tubes, and it was very exciting, because after you left the brink, you had this feeling that you were just in midair until you hit down. They used that most of 1 year, and they decided that was way, way too risky. And so we let it grow back up into trees and things like that to, so we wouldn't be tempted to use it again. But just many things in Maranatha that were exciting. And Maranatha has been, for our family, a very good place to raise kids. Our kids have all grown up, our grandkids, and even with the folks in the latter years, just Maranatha has just been such a sweet memory of many things. And so it's great to be a part of the 50 years here. Thank you.
To God be the glory. Great things He has done. My name is Reverend William Charles Bennett, Pastorville, and I'm delighted to be able to be here this morning as a dual representative. I am the missionary with skin on. I'm part of the missionary family supported by Maranatha Bible Church, and we thank the Lord for your partnership in helping the Bennetts to serve at Camp Aowakaya, which is my second representation this morning. And I need to come down here, and I have to ask the assistance of this young lady right here. Stand up, please. Give her a big hug, okay? Now, remember that hug. Okay, sit back down. Because she is going to proceed to hug everyone in this room afterwards, representative of Billy Dean, who wanted me to hug every one of you. And since I won't be able to do that, Taylor will now take care of that. And thank you very much for that. Make sure it's a big, warm hug. Billy wanted to be here in the worst way. I talked with her at length on Friday night. We were up at camp. I wanted to be, and she as well, to the banquet, but we couldn't come. I've got 140 middle school students up there right now tearing the place apart, but we've had a wonderful weekend, and so I bring you greetings from Billy Dean, who had a little bit to do with the history of Maranatha Bible Church. I think she was the secretary for a few years. How many? 30 years. Thank you, Paula. I think. So, and also bring greetings from Mike and Lori Dean, who wanted to be here as well, but they are on their way back from the Ozarks, picking up their son, Christian, who is now a graduated part of Youth with a Mission. Christian has been serving. He just got back off of a missionary trip and now is coming home. So Mike and Lori were down there on Friday night for a meal and a graduation ceremony. But I bring you greetings from them. And thank you for the large part of this church's service in a little place called Aowakaya, a little bit of heaven on earth, it's referred to. A Christian youth camp, which began in 1954. And we know that it's 1954 because one of your sisters is 59 years old, and we won't say which one because it's not polite, I guess, to reveal a lady's age. But we go by the founding of what was church camp back in 1954 with 12 boys that started, brigade boys on Fisherman's Island on the Grand River, and then developed, the Lord blessed it, through the efforts of Pastor Gordon and Joanne, and raised it to a Christian youth camp, which now serves about 1,200 students, individuals, each year. Banded together for a purpose is the meaning of Aowakaya. And three years ago, I received a call from a lady who said, I want to come and serve at camp, and I want to bring my daughter. And they came from Indiana. This was the lady who had submitted the name Aowakaya for what was then known as church camp back in 1965. And she was from Anger Bible Church. She submitted this name, researched it, and found out that it meant banded together for a purpose. Aoa is coming together, and Kaya is family. So coming together for the family reunion, basically, is the meaning. But we say banded together for a purpose. So this lady came with her daughter and finally got a week of camp. I think that was the prize back in 1965, but she wasn't able to actually to do that. But so it was great to have her with us at camp and to have her daughter there and experience what God has put together in this all-volunteer ministry of Christian camp. And thanks to this church, because the names are synonymous. Camp Aowakaya, Maranatha Bible Church, just an integral part of what God has done over the years in bringing boys and girls, men and women, to a saving knowledge of Himself, and the thousands of people who have come to know the Lord at Camp Aowakaya because the gospel was presented and they responded and made the most important decision of their lifetime. I came into involvement with Aowakaya in 1982 because Brother Bruce Hughesby called me. I was a youth pastor at Grace Bible Church, and he said, would you like to come and be the speaker for my junior high week? And I said, sure. And so we came and had a marvelous time speaking, perhaps to some of you. I don't remember. That was 30-some years ago. But from that point on, the rest is history, so to speak, because we have developed into, I'm the director of the camp and work with thousands of volunteers who make it all happen. So thank you very much, Maranatha Bible Church, for all that you've done, and God bless you in the next 50 years, should the Lord tarry.
Thank you.
We want to invite the ladies quartet. They're going to come minister to us in music. So ladies, please come forward.
Thank you. is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies. Strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone. Every soul we long to reach, every heart I hope to teach, everywhere we share His peace is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every soul will turn to praise, is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Grace alone, which God
Thank you, ladies. It is God's grace that has taken this church this far, and we trust that it'll be His grace that will continue in the future. It's my privilege to introduce our guest speaker this morning, and for a short time, Mr. Tim Bergen is going to come and minister the word to us. He's no stranger to most of us. He and his wife, Judy, were a part of this church for, I believe, 17 years. And 5 years ago, took a call to pastor Broadlands Bible Church in Louisiana. And they have, by God's grace, been able to be with us this weekend. We spared no expense in bringing back the best speaker all the way from Louisiana, Mr. Tim Bergen.
Good morning, Maranatha. I've always wanted to do that. Once again, good morning, Maranatha. For those of you who do not know me, I was the ornery one. I was the proving ground for Maranatha. Oh, it's such a joy to be here this morning. A lot of emotions. See Bert Miranda and these guys, it makes you, you know, it makes you just appreciative. Open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. so many memories, and I want to share some of those this morning, but we do not want to compromise Scripture. Scripture is foremost. That's what Maranatha stands for. It's interesting, Gary Dredge, one day we were talking about different churches, and he was talking about a friend of his that was Baptist, and he said, well, it's all in the emphasis. You're a Baptist because you like to baptize, and I'm a part of the Bible church because we like the Bible. Little humor there. Very little. Let's pray together. Father, it's good to be here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for Maranatha Bible Church. Thank you for the ministry that it's had in countless lives. Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy in saving those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning as I speak, I pray that I would be clear and accurate. I pray that you would get the honor and the glory. I pray that we might learn and that we would apply what we learn and take it from here. In your precious name, amen. What a privilege. This pulpit means a lot to me. Judy and I sat 18 years right where you are, week in and week out, listening to the Word of God being preached, and it is a large part of why we are in ministry today, is because of the preaching of the Word of God. I remember the first Sunday that we came to this church. It was a hot, steamy, you know those steamy mornings in July where you come to church and you wonder if you can sit through the service because it's so warm. Matter of fact, that fan, that is something. A fan in a pulpit. Amazing. There's a fan in the pulpit. Wow. I've never seen that before. I'm going to talk to the elders at Broadlands. Oh. That Sunday was pivotal in our lives. Judy and I had just moved from Kansas City. We were broken, financially broke, spiritually broken, emotionally a mess due to bad decisions that I had made as a husband, as the leader of our home. We had decided as a couple that we did not want our kids to grow up without a home church. That was the motivation with which we came to Maranatha Bible Church. We had gone to a church the previous week, didn't fit our tastes. And so we looked for a Bible church. I called the church at 7:30 in the morning on Sunday, expecting to get an answering machine that told us the service times, and Pastor Gordon, with that warm and friendly way, talked to me, told me the times, and when we came to the church, he remembered us and came right down from the front and talked to us. Brian Carpenter led the song service. He had a shirt and a tie on. It was a long sleeve shirt, and he had rolled it up past the elbows. And there was no worship team. He was counting out the time. Those were the days. But one thing I'll never forget was the friendliness and the kindness and the love that was shown to us. We needed it. We needed it. And we got it right here. The church just took us in. We had a lot of baggage, but they didn't ask us about the baggage. They just befriended us, started loving us and caring for us and ministering to us and giving us opportunities to minister as the days went on, helping us where we needed, both spiritually and physically. And something happened. We began to mend. We began to mend. We began to grow in the Lord. And once we began growing, our lives began to take hold. It's interesting what happens when you put God first in your life, isn't it? Now, I must tell you, it didn't take place overnight. It took years. Years of hard work, years of faithfulness, years of pain for some. But you just plugged away. And this morning, I just want to thank you, Maranatha, for your faithfulness in our lives. The Lord has used you mightily. You were the vehicle, see? You were the vehicle that God used to grow us in His grace and knowledge. You were the vehicle that God used to propel us into ministry. You have multiplied yourselves. Praise the Lord for that. Our meditation this morning is just one simple verse. Verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. This is a verse that I have repeated many times. I repeated it many times as we anticipated going into ministry. I repeated it many times still as we are in ministry. It's a verse that I have looked to in my discouragement so I would be encouraged. It's a verse that I have looked to in my encouragement so I wouldn't get discouraged or lax in ministry. It's a verse that I have looked to as I have tried to prod others on into faithfulness and to help those who are discouraged. We know the verse. It simply says this: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always." That word "always" is important. "Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." This is a verse that unfortunately has been taken out of context so many times. It's a verse that some believe is a standalone verse or a missionary or a pastor verse. I remember giving someone this verse and they said, "That's a good verse for pastors or missionaries." Well, if we look at the context of 1 Corinthians, it's a verse for all believers. Paul is addressing the church at Corinth. Paul wrote this book to deal with problems that had crept into the church because of, instead of leaning on the Holy Spirit for guidance and the leading, they were leaning on worldly and pragmatic practices. And one of the problems was that some of the believers did not believe that Christ had actually risen from the dead. So in chapter 15, Paul defends and strongly affirms the doctrine of the resurrection. And may I add, it's one of the most important doctrines relating to the gospel and our salvation. By the way, we're in southern Louisiana. You talk about a culture shock. We wanted to go to the mission field because of health reasons. The Lord did not allow that to happen, but He put us on the mission field. Different culture. But there are many Bible churches even down there who do not affirm salvation as the biblical way. They are those who believe that all you have to know is some facts about God. Persuaded about facts. No repentance. No confession. I believe that the most important doctrine that we must get right, and that you as believers, no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, must know and must understand, is the doctrine of salvation. We have to get that right. Getting back to the text here, Paul is telling the church that this doctrine is of utmost importance. And he shares in verses 14 through 19 six terrible ramifications if the resurrection had not happened. Our preaching would be in vain. Wow. Our faith would have been in vain. Oh my goodness. We would be found as false witnesses. We would be living mired in our sins. Imagine as believers, if the resurrection hadn't happened, the weight of our sins would still be on us. We could not rejoice in life after death. There would be no hope in this life. But then Paul goes on in that chapter, and in verse 20, he finishes on a very positive note by saying in that verse, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." And throughout the rest of the chapter, Paul goes on to explain the order and the hope of the resurrection. And I love what verses 54 through 57 say. "But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written." Oh, I love this. "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Most of us here, if not all, to pass from this life to the next, we will have to go through a process called dying. We will have to physically die to go from this life to the next. But we have hope. And that hope is based in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hope is a privilege. There is joy in hope. And we can enjoy that privilege and that joy throughout the course of our lives because death has been swallowed up in victory. I remember watching a show called 48 Hours. And the story was of a lady named Kenya Monhay. She was a 21-year-old college student. She was going to school and she decided to go out for a night on the town. And a series of unfortunate events happened. She was picked up by a young man who killed her. And the rest of the hour was dealt with how they investigated the death. And you know how those stories go. But one thing that struck me was the reporter interviewed the parents. And he asked the parents, "Did you have hope that she was alive?" And the father said, "After a couple of days, I had no hope." The mother said, "Oh, I had hope. I held out hope until they found her." And then the interviewer asked the father, "Couldn't you tell your wife that she was probably dead?" He said, "No, because she had hope. The only problem was that her hope was unfounded. It was not substantiated. There was nothing to that hope." Friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a hope that is substantiated. It is a hope that is founded, is grounded, is real, is guaranteed, and it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that, Paul then gives the believers, their marching orders because of that hope. That's the context here. The context is not that this is a standalone command. Hey, go out. Be steadfast, immovable. No, it's because of hope. It's because of hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast because of that hope. Be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." I'm going to turn the fan on, by the way. That is cool. Wow. Friends, that's what Maranatha Bible Church is all about. Oh, there are just so many things I could say. That's what Maranatha Bible Church has been doing for 50 years. Why has Maranatha been doing this? Why did Calvary Church seek to plant a church in Comstock Park? Why did Martin Uppendahl come? Why did Pastor Gordon leave an established church and live in a bus? Why? Why has this church weathered the test of time, going through great times and horrible times? Why are we celebrating today? Because of hope. A founded hope, a hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now this morning I just want to spend some time reflecting on Maranatha's faithfulness down through the years in my life. I think I'm a poster child, maybe I should say. You know, Ted Sanchez was here, and then I came, and Ted left, and I became the poster child. But poster child, when I say that, I'm an example of the work that Maranatha did, basically from start to finish. And they continue their work. Todd hasn't left me cold. If I need some advice, I call him. It's a beautiful thing to see a church sending out people to do the work of ministry. The first charge that Paul gives here is to be steadfast. The Greek there basically means to be settled, to be firmly situated. When I first came here, I was pretty reckless. Those of you who know me, Don, am I preaching to the choir here, brother? I was pretty reckless, wasn't I? Pretty reckless, impulsive. A button pusher, still a little bit of a button pusher, just a little more seasoned of a button pusher. I was an impulsive person. I was invited to go to this Bible study. John Campbell and Mike Gordon started that Bible study. Still goes on to this day. Swan Inn. I was ignorant theologically. I'd read the lesson and I always had a counter to everything the lesson said, and Mike just methodically would go through the lesson and he'd speak. Mike was steadfast. He never got excited, never got upset, never lashed out when I said those things, but gently corrected, gently explained the truth of Scripture, gently guided through the years. Dale Kleinhexel, he came. A couple years later, he's probably laughing in his heart, remembering some of those days. Did the same thing. A deep respect has built for those two men. They don't like accolades. They don't like the limelight. They just simply serve the Lord, and I'm thankful for them. They steadfastly remain faithful to God's word and patiently discipled a reckless, immature, impulsive young man along with others every Friday. I think of Pastor Gordon, who just steadfastly led by love and example. When we were new in the church, we had a little problem. It was called getting up and going to church. Pastor Gordon, he'd call. He wasn't invasive. He just kind of gently prodded, "Hope you're okay, you know. Be good if you came to church." He lied a little bit. He said, "We missed you." Pastor Gordon. Love Pastor Gordon. I have to tell you this story. One time, church was going through some problems, and I had said some things that were harsh, mean, bad. And I had been called on the carpet for that, but I didn't care. I was going to say some more stuff. And I don't know if Mike or Laura or somebody found out about it, and they had Pastor Gordon find me. Do you all remember that, some of you? He found me. And he never got upset. I mean, he just sat me down, and he said, "Have you prayed about whether or not you should say those things?" And he saved me from some terrible embarrassment. And he helped me to see the importance of doing things in God's way. Friends, they were steadfast. Steadfastness isn't stubbornness. It's not bullheadedness. It's not harshness. It's not meanness. It's standing firm in the truths of the Word of God. And carefully, gently, guiding, patiently helping those who are not so steadfast in showing them the ways of God. I spoke with Pastor Gordon a few months before he died. I didn't know that. But I called him from Louisiana and thanked him for his ministry. What a man. You know, it was interesting. Every time I got together with him, he always wanted to pray. And so he prayed, he and Joanne, over the phone and asked the Lord's blessing over our ministry. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable." The second charge Paul gave to the church in Corinth was for them to be immovable, which means to be unmoved or firmly persistent. Basically, Paul is wanting to intensify the meaning of steadfastness. He's basically saying, church, stand strong. Stand strong in the truths of God and don't move away from them. There were some of those lessons as well. I remember a man who's my dear friend, still my friend. I don't know why he's my friend, but he is. Whew. We've been through some stuff, haven't we, bro? Whew. I remember one time they had railings around this church when we first came, and they decided to put these walls up. And I decided that was unwise, and I voiced my opinion pretty forcefully. I was upset. And so I decided that I was going to make that known. One Sunday, my wife was working in children's church, and my children were in their respective places. And I thought, man, I'm not even going to sit in church. I'm going to show them. Do you remember this, Brian? You don't remember it, do you? So I sat out in the car. I don't know how Brian saw me, but he knocked on my window, and he decided to sit with me. And he sat with me, and I complained. He said, "What's wrong? What's eating you?" And I told him, and have you ever seen Brian? He kind of has this throaty laugh, ha, 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 shakes his head. You know what I'm talking about. And then he proceeded to tell me how wrong I was, which I needed. I needed that. I needed it. He was immovable, explaining to me the truths of Scripture in a practical way. Steadfast, immovable. I wish Mrs. Dean was here. Mrs. Dean was immovable. And the thing about Mrs. Dean was that she would back everything up with Scripture. There was a certain picture that circulated. We used to go fishing in Canada. And there was a certain picture that circulated, and that certain picture had me smoking a cigar. And I don't think she was so upset about me smoking the cigar, but what it did to my daughter. My daughter was so upset in seeing that picture because she thought I was going to die. And I'll never forget what Mrs. Dean said. She said, "Tim, who are you living for?" Are you living for yourself or are you living for God? What kind of an example are you to your children? Just cut me. But she was right. She was steadfast and immovable. And there's so many stories I could give you in appreciation. These were life lessons. Life lessons. Faithfulness. Being faithful to the work of the Lord. They were growing me in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ without compromise. The third charge, Paul says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That word abounding has the idea of going over and above. Doing something with excellence, not with mediocrity. Doing more than what is required. Personally, I don't believe you have to be the greatest intellectual or be a church that has the greatest intellect to abound. I don't believe you have to have the greatest programs to abound. I don't believe you have to have the greatest facilities to abound. But there is one thing you have to have, and you have to have faithfulness. To be abounding in the work of the Lord, you must be faithful. And Maranatha has that. Maranatha has that. For these 50 years, Maranatha has been faithful to the work of the Lord. There's a couple verses that speak about what the church is to be and what the church is to do. Acts 2:42 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. And Maranatha has devoted itself to the teaching of the word, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and being the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the support of the truth. Very important. For me, this place will always be a place of hope. It was good to see Rick Hopkins Friday night. I didn't know him. I didn't know there were other stories like that. And Maranatha just has done this time and time again. This place is a place where I came to know and love Christ in a deep and meaningful way. It's a place where my children were born and they got saved. And they got dedicated and baptized. It's a place where my marriage was healed. Where God saved my marriage. It's a place where God prepared me and my family to serve Him in vocational Christian ministry for His glory. I'm deeply grateful for Maranatha Bible Church. And I'm indebted to you for your input in our lives and for how God used you as His vehicle of grace, mercy, and love to grow, prepare, and send out a wretch like me, tell you. Paul finishes out his charge here by saying, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. He's saying, hey, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But he doesn't stop there. He says, hey, I know that this is hard. This is toil. Thayer's lexicon says it is intense labor united with trouble. John MacArthur says it is labor to the point of exhaustion. Ministry is hard. Ministry is difficult. Ministry is downright discouraging at times. I have quit the ministry 180 times already, and I'm only 5 years into it. It'll make you want to quit. The Tims, though, are out there, and they need to get faithful. They will make you cry. They will make you mad. They will make you want to hit your head against the wall. But just remember, it is not in vain in the Lord. Some of you have labored to the point of exhaustion with me. Thank you. Mike, thank you. The job, though, is far from over. There's much more to do. So much more to do. I love seeing the young people on the front row here. So let me talk to you. You got a job to do. Be faithful. Middle-aged people, my age. Hey, be faithful. Old people, your job ain't over. You're not pushing up daisies yet. Be faithful. There are people who are lost. There are people who are unfaithful. There are people who need to be discipled. There are people who need to be prepared for ministry. There are people who need to be sent out. Be faithful. Today we're celebrating 50 years. 50 years, and we're reminiscing a bit. We're seeing what God has done. We sing a few songs. We hear a few testimonies. I'm not making light of that. I cried through that whole thing. Seeing Bert Miranda pray, wow. But let's never pause. Let's never rest. Let's never relax. Let's never fall back. Let's use the past 50 to launch us into the next 50. Let's follow the words of Paul. Bruce spoke about that. Philippians chapter 3, or less, I guess it was. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We have hope. And we must live in view of that hope. That hope makes life worth living. That hope needs to be shared with those who have no hope. We have the ultimate privilege, sharing the hope of Christ. What a joy. What a joy to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For us as believers, the future is bright. May we continue our faithfulness. I'm thankful for the leadership of this church body. You have a pastor and elders who are dedicated to the truth. Don't take them for granted. You don't find that every day. Believe me, I know. I minister in an area of the country where the pastors around me are not solid. Don't take them for granted. I remember moving Todd and Julie from Washington. 2003, 2004. 36 hours of driving. I won't talk about the hotel arrangements. Phil and I are good friends. Enough said. That wasn't in my notes, by the way. But in sitting with Todd, riding with Todd, I was so impressed that it wasn't about intellectual knowledge and the Word of God. He truly delighted in the law of the Lord. Delighted. That's fantastic stuff. It's contagious. And I determined when I decided to go into ministry, I wanted to have a love for the Word of God. Todd, thank you. Your ministry to those of us who have been sent out from this place and to serve the Lord, I appreciate it. He not only serves you, he serves those of us who are out. Nathan Theory and I have spoken, and that's one thing. We can always call if we have a question. His love for Christ and His word is infectious. Friends, it's a joy to see the work of Maranatha Bible Church continue on and to see others sent out from this body to serve the Lord around the globe. I think Kurt and Christine are next. Isn't that a joy? And you have a part in that. You. Even though several of us have left, I am confident in saying that all of us treasure our time here. And I can say for all of us, thank you so much for your ministry to the Lord. Geography separates us, but our relationship is eternal. It's eternal because of hope. Hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil, your labor with much trouble, your labor to the point of exhaustion is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, it's good to be here. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the past 50 years, but Lord, I pray that this church and this body and the believers here would be faithful to you in the next 50. Lord, I thank you for what's happened in the past. Thank you for those who have been sent out from this body to minister your word around the world. But Lord, I pray that there are even more of us that go out. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We know it's all because of you. Lord, thank you for choosing me and my wife and my family to serve you. In your precious name, amen.
Oh.
Know your hearts have been as richly blessed as mine have, and what a celebration of not what we've done, but what God's done. And so we want you to leave with that singular message. This is not about us. This is about Christ. This is about His glory, and we're so glad that you could join us today and this weekend for celebrating that, and we want to give Him the praise and the glory for that.
You've been listening to a sermon presented at Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.